normally do at a regular mass, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to stand up and wave your hands at regular Sunday mass, you can, but I've done it. The people look at you strange. Right? It doesn't bother me that much, but it makes the people around me feel uncomfortable. For some of us last week, we experienced something that was very, very powerful, very tangible. Something that maybe you hadn't experienced before. And if that's the case, you've been walking around all week trying to explain it to people, and you can't, okay? They had to kind of be there to experience that. It's a very powerful experience, though. Some of your friends may call that being born again, okay? It was something that was very, very powerful, very, very tangible, and something that we left there last week saying, okay, I want more, okay? I want to continue on this path. For some of us, last week was just the excitement of being around something that was really, really powerful, okay? I wasn't in I was sick last week, so I wasn't able to fully participate. But I really enjoyed just sitting back and watching the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. And sometimes just watching that and experiencing that is a very powerful thing in itself. I play the guitar. You guys know that I play the guitar. I'm not very good. Okay, but I play the guitar. But a couple of weeks ago, I went up to Pittsburgh, and Eric Clapton was in concert. Okay, and I got to see Eric Clapton. And usually when Eric Clapton plays, there's like four or five guitars on stage, and Eric Clapton playing lead. He was the only guitar on stage. There was a bass player and a keyboard player and Eric Clapton. And I was just in awe. I mean, I just sat there, and you realize that the only guitar sound was coming out of this one man. Okay, and I just sat back and I thoroughly enjoyed just watching this incredible gift that he had. Okay? And sometimes with the Holy Spirit, you know, it was like just sitting back and watching God's presence and watching God fill young people and not so young people, just the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, I just sit back and I'm in awe. And that's great. And I remember back in the time when I felt the full presence of the Holy Spirit. And so I continue on my journey. That drives me forward. I want more. For some of you, maybe you didn't feel anything. Okay? And you left there. And I've had those experiences too. Okay? And I leave those experiences wondering, okay, why him and not me? You know, why did Matu feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and I didn't get anything? Okay? And so you leave there and it's a little difficult. Okay, maybe you had that experience last week, and if you're back, this is a good thing because you're still seeking. Okay, no matter what we experienced last week, whether it was that really powerful feeling of the presence of the Holy Spirit, or just sitting back and enjoying and knowing that the Holy Spirit was there, or whether it was an emptiness, if you're still feeling called today, okay, it's because that's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is still calling us. He calls each of us a little bit of a different way. As we continue to seek God, what we're doing is we're answering an invitation that Jesus gave at the very beginning of the gospel. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's an invitation that Jesus gives to all of us to an ongoing process of continuing conversion. As Catholic Christians, we believe that the sacrament of baptism is the first and fundamental conversion. But we recognize that Christ's call to conversion continues throughout our lives. Just as when most of us were baptized as infants, we continue to grow physically and mentally, we need to grow spiritually too. The sacrament of baptism is a sacrament of initiation. It's a beginning. It's not an end. Okay? And that's why we're called to this ongoing process of conversion. Our baptism is a beginning. It's not an ending. What we experienced last week, however we experienced it, is the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit does. Okay? The Holy Spirit reminds us that we are sanctified. Do we know what that word means? We are sanctified. We are called out for a special purpose. We are set aside for a special purpose. Anybody know what their purpose in life is? That's a big thing. What is it? What's your purpose in life?
Glorify the Lord.
That's not it. What's your purpose in life, Corey? You went to Catholic school, didn't you? That's not it. Christianity by storm in the United States, and it talked about there were five stages to a perfect driven life: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. And he sold a lot of books based on this. Now let me ask some old-time Catholics. Did you have Baltimore Catechism?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what's your purpose in life? Listen up, you young guys.
To know, love, and serve God
in this world so that we might spend eternity with Him in the next. Now, I'm not big on memorizing stuff, okay? But if I'm going to memorize something, that's pretty good. Okay, Rick Warren made a living out of this. He's got a pretty big following. The Catholic Church has been teaching this for years. We taught it through memorization, and that's not the best way to teach it. But the fundamental teaching is absolutely solid. Our purpose in life is to love God, to know God, and to serve. To know God, to love God, and to serve God. With this as our purpose, okay, we are forever and continually called to conversion. It's a process that goes on and on and on. It's a process of turning away from the works of the flesh and choosing over and over again to live in the Spirit. One of my many second favorite passages in the Bible, a lot of them, okay, is Galatians chapter 5 from like 16 to 22. I'm not going to read through the whole thing right now, but I have a little handout because I'm a teacher, so I give out handouts. That's what I do. Okay, Bob will give them to you afterwards. And it lists, there's like 14 things, the works of the flesh. And anytime that I'm not sure whether I'm on the right path or not, I go to the works of the flesh and I read them. And it's like, okay, I got 13 out of 14. You know, that's not good. And the one that I always forgot that I figured I didn't get was licentiousness, but it was only because I didn't know what licentiousness was. And when I found out what licentiousness was, it's like, okay, I got all 14 of them, I'm there. But then there's the works of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay, peace, patience, kindness. Oh, they're so nice. And it's like, when I go back to whenever I'm really struggling with my faith, I go back to the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And it's like, yeah, I choose the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? I invite you to go to Galatians 5, 19 to 25. From time to time. You don't have to do it right now, but that's okay. Well, what I want to talk about today is how do we accomplish the purpose to know God, to love God, and to serve God? Okay? Oh, let's see. I need a volunteer. Corey, what's your budget major? Athletic coaching education. How do you go about learning, about knowing about athletic coaching administration? What's the process? What did you do? Just kind of hang out with the coaches and all of a sudden, boom, you know it all?
Read.
You read?
Learn anything you can.
As much as you can?
Yeah.
Okay. Spend a lot of time reading?
No.
No? Should you have spent a lot of time reading?
Probably not.
When we're trying to know something, okay, what we do is we spend a lot of time with it, huh? We spend a lot of time reading about it. We spend a lot of time reading and learning from other people. Okay, when you're going to college, you devote an awful lot of time to knowing. Okay, but if all you do is read, what you're doing is you're learning about something. You're knowing about something. How do you learn how to coach, Corey?
Learning from other people.
Okay. I've seen you. You're out there on the court. Okay? Part of your education is to be out there on the court, listening in the huddle. I don't want to hear what he says, but okay, you actually have to experience that. Okay? You don't just read about it, you actually have to go out and do it. That's when you really start to know something, is by doing. You're in graduate school, right? Mm-hmm. No, your boyfriend's in pharmacy school. Okay? A big part of what he's gonna do is actually going out and doing it. They teach him a lot in the books, and then the last year or two, okay, he's out practicing, he's out actually doing it. And that's the difference between knowing about something and knowing something. Again, likewise with God, we have to spend time with God. If we're gonna know God, we have to spend time with God. Because he loves us, God chose to reveal himself to us. Divine revelation, we have the Bible, the Word of God. And we have the teachings of God that have been passed on through the church, through the magisterium. Our magisterium guy over here. We need to spend time with those teachings. We need to spend time with that word. Okay? But read scripture and we can read the teachings of the church all we want. What we're doing there is we're learning about God. We need to go that next step, and we need to know God, not just know about him. And the way that we go about doing that is that every time we pick up that book, we pray. When we finish with that book, we pray. Sometimes we just pray. Okay, hold the word and hold it close to you, but pray. When you pray, that's a two-way process. You're talking to God, and if you take the time and listen, he talks back. Okay? And it's not just hearing voices. In that silence sometimes, God talks back to you, but you need to take the time to do that. This is not something that you can just do real quickly. Okay, I've got an extra 3 minutes. Okay, you can maybe pray a little bit there, but you can't rush God. Okay, you can, but I don't know whether he's going to respond that quickly. You need to take the time. Every time you pick up the book, pray. Pray is spending time with God, listening to God. To know God, you have to stay connected to God. Okay, if we expect to know God, we have to stay connected to God. But don't just take my word for that. I'm just an accountant who teaches finance. Allison.
John 15:5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit. For you can do nothing without me.
Jesus tells us to stay connected. So know God. Love God. Because God is who and what God is, as we come to know God, we're going to come to love God. But how are we supposed to love God? I'm going to lay some heavy stuff on you right now. Has anyone ever read Karl Rahner? He's a theologian. He gives me headaches, but he's really, really good. And he said, I want to get it right, because when you're quoting Karl Rahner, you have to kind of make sure you can't paraphrase Karl Rahner. He's one of our greatest theologians. He says, every true act of love of God is also love of neighbor. Yet every act of love of God is not also an act of love of neighbor. What he's saying is that, I'm going to paraphrase probably. Okay. To truly love God, we have to love our neighbor. To truly love God, we have to love our neighbor. We can't just, there's no option here. I'm just going to have a love relationship with God. I'm not going to love my neighbor. That's not true love of God. He says you can't have that relationship with God. It's just a one-way relationship with God and keep your neighbors at the side. But that's not true. That's not the complete love of God. He goes on another time and he says, love of neighbor is not a potential secondary consideration for a higher level of moral behavior, but rather it is a requirement for one to call oneself a Christian. We're going to call ourselves a Christian. We must love our neighbor. Okay? God could have created a universe of individuals. Okay? So you have to think outside the box a little bit here, but I was thinking outside the box when I was thinking of this. So think about, God could have done, he could have created all of us in our own little pods. Okay? And it would have been a perfect one-to-one relationship, us with God. Just a perfect one-to-one, very Trinitarian. God the Father pouring out his love onto this being, and this being having nowhere else to do with that love but to pour it back to God. It would be perfect Trinitarian love. The Holy Spirit being that love that's being passed between God and this independent being. He could have done that with billions of us. But that's not what he did. He created us in this community. He created us in this world where we experience one another's lives. We share our lives with one another. I don't know why he did it. That's what God did. He put us in this world to share the good, the bad, and the ugly with everybody. One of the most beautiful things that happened last week, as I was sitting and soaking in all the stuff that was going on, you know, Father calls us all up to the front of the church there. We're all standing in front of him. I'm already wondering, okay, people are going to start falling. Where are they going to go? You know, what's going to happen? We're too crowded. Well, what was happening is we were bumping into one another. I loved it. You know, we walk around campus and we avoid bumping into people, right? Someone's coming, you step out of the way, you know, you don't want to bump into anybody. But last week when we were up there on the altar, we were bumping into everybody. It was wonderful. God put us on this earth not so that we could avoid each other. Bump into each other from time to time. It's not a bad thing. It's Matthew. Bump into them. Okay? This is the earth that God created us in. Put us in community, and this is where we are. even went a step further than that. We have this incredible gift. God gave us this incredible gift. It's called sacramental life. He put us into this community, okay, to share life with one another, but then he didn't just leave us alone. The sacraments, efficacious signs, instituted by Christ, efficacious signs, that means they do what they symbolize, okay, instituted by Christ and entrusted to the church by which divine life is dispensed. I want some of that, okay? God is present in the sacraments. His grace is present in the sacraments in a very special way. It's not that he's not present in this room right now. This is special. God's present, but he's not present in the sacramental way. There's something even more special in the sacraments than there are in what we have right here. Okay, and I think that's why we do the baptism of the Spirit. When we do it in the context of the Mass, it's so powerful because we start off with the Confiteor. It's very close to reconciliation, right? It's not quite a sacrament. Some people did partake in the sacrament of reconciliation right before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We recommend it to you that you do that. Why? Presence of God. But then we have this beautiful sacrament of the Eucharist. If the Eucharist is what we say it is, what we believe it to be, think about that. We are in the presence of God and the presence of community. Can there possibly be a better way to love? There can't be. Because we can't love more completely than God does. And when God is in us, truly in us through the gift of the Eucharist, that's when we are truly in communion. That's when that love that God wants us to have for one another is truly complete. God with us and us with community. We find that fulfillment in our community through the sacraments. I encourage you, okay, participate in the sacraments. Okay, if we're going to love God and love neighbor, we need as much of God's presence as possible. How often is too often for reconciliation? I don't know. You be the judge of that. Okay, how often is too often for Eucharist? You can go to Eucharist every day. Go to Eucharist every day. Okay? What a great gift we have. God wants to be with us. God wants us to love our neighbor. But don't listen to me. Don't even listen to Carl Braun or Tina. Listen to Tina. No.
Mark 12:29-31. Jesus replied, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these."
Know God and love God. And finally, our purpose is to serve God. To serve God, we have to follow with trust where God is leading us. We are not the message. We are just the messenger. Like Mary, we are not the Holy One, but we are the vessel that God has chosen to bring forth to the world the good news. And like Mary, to serve God, we must be humble, for God's way is not our way. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. I've never been a Marian kind of guy, but something in preparing for this talk, I've come to understand and appreciate the humility of Mary and her yes, her fiat, her yes. If I was as good as Eric Clapton, I'd be out there doing concerts every day, and when I have 50, 60,000 people in front of me, I'd be spreading the word of God. But that's not what God chose for me. If I was born to any other religion other than Catholic, I could be married and be a priest. But that's not what God had in plan, had in store for me. If I had my way, the Catholic Church would pay me about 200 grand a year to do Christy stuff all day long. That's not going to happen. That's not God's plan. It's all good stuff. Okay, every one of those things that I desire is not good stuff, but it's not God's plan. Because if I was out on the road, okay, doing concerts, or if I was an Episcopal priest, or if I was talk with you, not without you. Okay, to talk with you. And I don't know, you know, I don't know whether this is what I'm supposed, I don't know whether this is the best thing that for me to do, the last thing for me to do, but I know that this is where I am right now. I know that this is where God put me. And I know that God has a better plan than I could ever come up with. Because one of the things that I've come to realize in my 50 years of walking around on this earth and trying lots of different things, trying my hands at lots of different things, I've come to realize and know and love and respect that God is better at being God than I will ever be at anything that I'm trying to be. God is really good at being God. I find great comfort in standing before you tonight. Okay, again, not because I'm good at what I'm doing, but because this is where God wanted me to be tonight. I haven't had that feeling in a long time, but it's a really good feeling to come to realize that, yeah, this is where God wants me to be tonight. It's not the biggest audience in the world. It's a wonderful audience, though. This is exactly where God wants me to be. When I was 15 years old, I visited the Basilica of St. Francis in Assisi for the very first time. I went back a couple of years ago with my wife. And in the back of the church, I picked up a prayer card. They were free back then. Last year, you had to pay, you know, their euros for them. Now they're selling everything. Okay. But I picked up a prayer card. It was the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And, you know, you've heard the prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, for there's haters. Okay? And I pray that prayer just about every day. Obviously, I haven't prayed it in a while. It's a powerful prayer. And I always used to think that it was just a good prayer, a good way to start the day. You know, and I prayed it for about 25 years. Okay? And in 1999, okay, I quit my job very unexpectedly. And I went to Sister Lenore Thomas, and I did something that you should never, ever do. I went to Sister Lenore Thomas. She was our pastoral associate at the time. And I said, Sister, I've been putting money in the basket every Sunday for years and years, but I've never done any ministry. I am now at your mercy. What would you like me to do? And without batting an eyelash, she was like, she knew I was coming. She said, well, there's RCIA on Thursday nights, and tonight you could start helping with youth group. Okay, never put yourself at the mercy of a nun. But it started me on this really great path. Okay, pretty soon I was doing tech retreats. The tech retreats led me to the friary. The friary led me to Father Jude. Father Jude led me to the Light of Life community. The Light of Life community is why I'm here tonight. This path that I've been on, it wasn't my idea. Okay, it was much bigger than that. But in order to accept where you're going on this journey, you have to sit back and you have to humble yourself and accept the fact that God has a plan for you. He's going to take you where he wants you to be. Will you have the faith and the courage to say yes to God's call? Because that Spirit is going to blow wherever the Spirit wills you to. But don't listen to me. Okay, we had a beautiful reading last week. It just happened to be the reading for the week. And it finished off with
John 3:8. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound that it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.